everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm your host, Joel Fragamenti. Going to tell you what's going on this week at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. It is a little unusual that it's Thursday as I record this. But we got a very special guest for you. Later on in this show, Jeff Allen is joining me. He's actually performing next week on the Sunday. But let's tell you what's going on this week. Albert Kay comes in tonight as I record this, Thursday, April 2nd at 7:30 p.m. Amber's a favorite out at the Comedy Store, the Improv, the Laugh Factory in L.A. He just got off tour with Theo Von. So there's a guy with real credentials. It's his Comedy Castle debut tonight. Get out there for Amber Kay. And then this Friday and Saturday, Sugar Sammy comes to the Comedy Castle. I believe for his debut, Sugar Sammy, a star from Canada and internationally as well. But he's coming to Detroit. I was watching some clips on a show he did from Windsor, Ontario, right over the river last year, and was very entertaining. His opinions on the United States. Probably get a lot of Canadians out for these shows, too. So Sugar Sammy is joining us Friday and Saturday this week. 7:15 and 9:45 are the show times on Friday, April 3rd. And then Saturday, April 4th at 7 p.m. and 9:30 for Sugar Sammy. Those are our shows this week. It's been a fun week. Sunday, we had Maria Bamford at the club for two shows. So thanks to anyone who came out for those. Those were super fun. Maria's dog was a little nutty in the back. Maria had a new rescue dog with her who liked to bite. There's no other way to say it. And while I was back there with the dog, I did not get bit. But I can't say that for the rest of the Comedy Castle staff. So, and the person who got bit shall remain nameless. But yes, Maria Bamford's dog bit a staff member. You know, you could even call it a, fooled around and found out, if you know what I mean, with that dog. I wasn't fooling around. But yeah, Maria was great. Jackie Cation, great job opening. Super fun shows. And Steven Rogers last week. Let's give a shout out to Steven. Those were fun shows. You heard him on the show last week. He was great. But coming up, we in addition to these shows, on the 12th, my guest today is Jeff Allen for his first annual, I think it's not the annual, I think it's a misprint on our part, the first final farewell tour. There's two shows. Jeff is so awesome. He's been coming to the club for years on sort of his renaissance as a comedian. He'll tell you the whole story in the interview about how he was a comedian on the road, got off the road, was doing churches, was doing corporate comedy. And then Dry Bar Comedy blew up for him. And you'll hear all that on the show. But Jeff is such a classy guy. So entertaining. Reminds you of a neighbor. Reminds you of your funny uncle. And, works clean. Again, does the Christian thing. I don't want you to think you can't come out and watch the show, that it's going to be, religious or something, because it isn't. But it's just so entertaining. Marriage, family, the everyday stuff. Jeff does that about better than anybody that I have ever seen. And he's a class act. You'll hear him on the show. Couple highlights of this interview before we get into it. First of all, let's just tell you when these shows are. The shows are coming up Sunday, April 12th. We have a 3 p.m. show, which was added because the 6:30 p.m. show is sold out. So if you want to come see Jeff Allen, that's early on Sunday the 12th for you, okay? Come see Jeff, and it's great. A couple highlights. Jeff's going to tell us about what it's been like on the road, how home and road are different, and how he adjusts each of those things. He'll tell you about, his whole life story. Why is this first final farewell, and where does it go from there? There's some funny stories in there. He'll tell you about how he got his start in comedy, which is a great story, and I didn't know that one. You'll hear about crown molding and how he got in trouble with his wife over the crown molding, which is a funny story. And he'll also tell you about his new TV pilot. It was just shot. Have some comedians that you might know as part of it. All right, there you go. We'll leave it at that. Hey, let's just throw it over to Jeff Allen. This is really, he is a guy that I really enjoy the time that he spends at the club. And he's busy. He sells out. He comes in for a night. In this case, we got him for two shows. on the 12th. I think you're really going to enjoy this. If you don't know Jeff, you'll dig it. If you know Jeff, I think he's really on form in this interview. Let's throw it to that. We'll be back after the talk, all right? Here's Jeff Allen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line, it's a big thrill to have, for the first time on the Comedy Castle podcast, but not his first appearance at the club. He's a favorite. Jeff Allen, welcome to the Comedy Castle podcast.
Well, it's so nice that you guys were able to drop the charges and let me come on your podcast. It's finally, you know, you talk about holding a grudge, man. My gosh.
Well, you know, there's a reason you haven't been on the podcast, whether you know it or not. No, there is. And it's a good reason is because we're, you know, we're hyping up trying to sell tickets and, you know, you're about 10 days out or whatever, but your shows sell out and there's really not a need to promote you on this show. So I was really glad that you could do this today because I'm such a big fan of yours. So,
well, thank you, man. Yeah. And we added a second show, so we got to sell some tickets.
Got a 3 o'clock show. That's the early one. That's available.
That's my people, man. Get them home before the babysitter hits the liquor can.
Yeah. Man. You don't have to drive in the dark. You come to that 3 o'clock show.
That's it.
Well, let's talk about, you know, your people, your fans, because that's just such a great thing that I see at the club and I see everybody's fan base, but so loyal and they come out every time and they're in such a great mood as someone who deals with the public like that. They're an awesome crowd to have come in the numbers they do. Never an issue, you know, and they're so happy to see you, too. It's great.
Yeah, so far, not one fist fight in one of my shows. So that's always nice. It would be like Lloyd Bridges from the Seinfeld thing if it was my crowd. Some old guy doing one-arm push-ups. It's go time.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But no, they're good people, man. And believe me, I appreciate them.
Yeah. Well, they treat you. They treat you like you're sort of like the funny neighbor down the street a little bit. I sort of feel that.
And family.
Yeah, family, yeah, absolutely.
A lot of them relate to, you know, they're familiar with our story, Tammy and our story. So the fact that we've been able to survive as a couple, despite our personalities, you know, I told them, you know, I said, it's if you would have dialed up, you know, now, you know, 40 years into this marriage, if you wrote down all the things you would like in a husband, would I have at least two traits out of five? Probably not. You know, I'm a good provider. Let's just put it that way.
Absolutely. You're hustling. I see all your dates and it's unbelievable. Your schedule, you know, has that been more challenging? Well, I mean, first of all, with the TSA stuff lately, has that been an issue or? I mean,
no, I fly out of Nashville. Nashville's been fine. I haven't really experienced. It's interesting because I got a date coming up and I got to fly out of Charlotte. Mm. And Charlotte's one of those. I hope they get it all worked out by then. You know,
nice.
There's talk that they're going to get it worked out. But I don't follow much of that stuff anymore.
Yeah.
You know, Lenny will call me, my manager, and go, you might want to leave a day early because weather's coming in or something. But, I told Tammy, I'm coming up on my 70th birthday, and I've just devoted too much bandwidth to stuff I have no control over.
Right.
And what's going on in the world today, I have no control over it. So,
yeah. And you've even titled this tour your first final farewell tour.
Yes, this is it. The first one I'm hoping to have. I'm hoping to have two or three finals.
Exactly.
You know, they'll know when I think that the last tour will be on. No, I mean it. This is it.
Yeah. That's a great, I mean, that's great. And I even read, you know, the press release and you were like, hey, Cher's had all these retirements and these people, Elton John and why not you?
Right. Absolutely. I mean, they're entitled to 10 final farewell tours. I'm at least entitled to one.
We had a guy. Okay. Here's the funniest one. I hope you'll appreciate this anecdote. A guy said, this is my final, he's a comedian, says, this is my final tour. Amazing Jonathan, right?
Oh.
Detroit guy started out here, and he comes through, and he's very ill.
Yeah.
And he's on stage going, look, I've got, you know, it might be weeks, people, you know, and he's saying goodbye, and it's all emotional. And, you know, I mean, really, the guy was a super talent. Six months later, he's booked back at the club. So, you know, I mean, he was trying to go out in style, and it...
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
He outlived his money or something. He needed to come back.
That's when you realize, you know, what do they say? What's the proverb? May your last breath and last check clear the same moment, and then may your check bounce. That would be perfect timing.
Oh man. Yeah. So let's talk about a little bit about your origin story in comedy. Because how many years has it been for you now?
1978, so 48 years this November.
That's amazing. 48
years. Yeah, Thanksgiving night, I got drunk at my parents' house and was stumbled into a club I'd been going to for a few months pretty regularly, just never had the courage to go up. So I go up. I was a magician.
Okay.
Speaking of Jonathan. So anyway, yeah. I was dropping things. Terrible night. So that was Thursday. Sunday, I go back to sign up for open mic night, and a very large black MC came over to me and said, "You're going to have to make some sense tonight. We're still trying to figure out what you said Thursday." So that was the start. Yeah.
Yeah.
I figured, you know, why not start out humiliating and shaming myself
to
the core?
I think that's the way to start. I did that. I bombed so bad my first show, and I wouldn't have had any reason to go back. I feel like if I killed, you know, I had to make.
Well, the thing I noticed, the guys that are really good at the start, they don't really write new material for a while because when they step off of that and it doesn't get the laugh they're used to, they go back to the tried and true. I had no tried and true.
Yeah.
And then it was very funny. I was like 2 or 3 months into it. And Larry Reeb was writing in a notebook.
Uncle Lair.
And I go, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I'm getting my set ready." I go, "You prepare this stuff?" He goes, "You don't?" I go, "No, I just thought you'd talk about it." He goes, "That explains a lot." Unless they've been talking about me.
Yeah.
But I just thought you talked about your day. You know, you just went up and this idiot at work, you know, and blah, blah, blah. This is what happened. And who knew that you actually prepared this stuff?
Yeah.
So that was a big change in my comedy career.
Yeah.
It was actually, yeah.
And I know because in the press release for this tour, some classic bits are coming back, and then there's going to be some new stuff in there too. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I thought, you know, my wife is of the belief that every year it should be a new hour. Right. And I'm of the belief because I said, you know what I would have paid to hear Cosby do what I heard him do growing up on an album live, to go to a live show and see the stuff done by the master, you know. And I get people coming up, "Oh, you didn't do the, you know, the playground stuff. You didn't do the whatever, you know." So we kind of, we looked at whatever the top 10 most viewed videos I have are. And I tried to incorporate at least half of those in. And then got some new stuff. I'm always adding, but to existing premises and things. So, and I just taped what might be my last full length video.
Yeah,
And that should be out sometime this summer, maybe.
All right. How many full length things have you done at this point?
Well, let's see. The bananas, I did 2, 3. And then Happy Wife, Happy Life. So maybe 4. This will be the 5th.
Yeah, yeah.
My first dry bar was really pretty close. It was 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Now they run them about 20, 25. They realized it was hard to find people to do 45 minutes of clean. So they just found it a lot easier for guys to put together 20, 25.
Yeah. Right.
And they're only cutting them up for, you know, most people watch this stuff on their iPhone.
Yeah.
And in short clips. It was interesting. We just hired a new marketing company. And you talk about a fan base. They said to Lenny, doing the metrics on mine, my fans, over 65% of them watch the entire 30 seconds. I just thought that was so funny. Yeah, my audience has an attention span, basically. They're old enough to remember where, you know, we didn't scroll. You know, we just,
They don't know how to stop it. That could be another explanation.
Yeah. Tammy gets mad at me because I'll be playing something, you know, and she'll be going, "Why are you listening to that?" "Well, I want to hear the ending." She goes, "You know, they're sucking you in. It's going to go on for 5 minutes and they're not going to, you know," and I just go, "What are you talking about?" Anyway, I listened to the whole thing and she was right. You know, it's, I keep waiting for the reveal of whatever the recipe was. You know, I watch a lot of food recipes.
Okay. Things. Yeah. And so it was dry. So for you, because, you know, you're one of these guys that when I guess the first time you came to the Comedy Castle, it was like, where's this guy been? You know, as someone who, you know, I was touring the Midwest for over a decade and you and I didn't cross paths, I don't think, when I was a road comic. But it was like you came out. Was it Dry Bar that really kind of broke you out?
Yeah. Yeah, I was out of clubs for 20 years.
Yeah.
I worked at Castle back probably in the mid-80s.
Okay.
Late 80s. But I couldn't draw an audience, and it was 9/11. I was in Vegas at the Trop, and I couldn't get home. And came home, and I told my Jewish manager, I said, "You think churches would hire me?" And he goes, "Well, you're asking the wrong guy." But anyway, I for 20 years, I pretty much did churches and corporate.
Oh, okay.
Dry Bar hit. And one day my manager called me and said, "We're getting calls from comedy clubs. And would you want to go back into them?" I said, "Only if people come out." So we started doing Monday and Tuesday nights just to see if the audience would come out.
Yeah.
And sure enough, you know, and then during COVID, I went back when it was 25% capacity, and that really helped because the big names couldn't get into theaters, so they were going back to doing comedy clubs.
Right.
You know, Brian Regan and Ron White and those guys.
Yeah.
So they were taking up a lot of spots, but the clubs were kind to me because I was willing to go out when nobody was willing to go out for 25%.
Yeah, we had Ron White with half capacity or something.
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah. So, you know, guys wanted to work. So anyway, I got very lucky there. And Dry Bar, I likened it to the 70s when Johnny Carson tapped a new comedian on the shoulder and said, "You know, this guy's really funny. You need to book him." And then all of a sudden your life changed. And that really did overnight. I mean, they introduced me. It was so funny. Tammy, my wife, was in the morning. "You're up to 20 million views." They go, "Who's watching this stuff?" You know, and I mean, it just blew me away. Yeah. It really did.
That's incredible.
So, everything I do now, we offer to Angel First.
Okay.
So the special I just taped, we're going to send it to them. They'll put it in the Guild, and if they want it, they can have an exclusive for a couple months on it.
That's nice. Yeah, it's great because I've talked to other guys who just the drive, you know, Brad Upton, just off the top of my head.
Oh,
he tells me that same story. You know, he got a billion views or whatever he got, and his guy's been around for 30 years, whatever it was. And it's incredible.
But that's what's cool. You've done your work. You've got an act. You've got a foundation. You've got a bank of material, you know, and you just needed eyeballs to see it and appreciate it, you know. So, it was. I was reading comments early after the, you know, "Where'd this guy come from?" You know, the rest 1978.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Well, guys come out now and they don't have the act and they're talking to the audience and, you know, the audience might see that and not want to come back, you know, see it once.
Well, that's it. It's interesting. I follow my favorite story. I was working the Des Moines Funny Bone on Sunday and Saturday night they had a bachelorette in. She was on The Bachelorette, and I asked the manager, "Did she have a show?" She goes, "Oh, God, no." And she goes, "Within a half an hour, we made an announcement, no longer selling wine by the glass. You have to buy the whole bottle." We went through 17 cases of wine. It was just screaming, yelling. You know, it's just 350 women all drunk on wine, which is, you know, ideally if they would have let 350 men in the room at the end of the show, it might have been a good night. But she said, "I was so happy to have your audience come." That's what we needed after cleaning up all the vomit. And something. But I said, "Did she have a show?" She goes, "No."
Yeah.
And again, I'm saying it, you know, but so it's anecdotal. She may have one. I don't know. I don't want
to put
it out there that she didn't, but I'm going by what I was told. So,
We book those things too. And sometimes there's a real entertaining show that you didn't expect to be very good. And sometimes people want a photo op and an excuse to yell and scream for an hour. So,
well, that's it. You know, my favorite story was I used to listen to these two women talk about true crime. All they did was drink wine and talk about crime. And then now they're doing 3,000 seat performing arts centers.
Yeah.
And I told Tammy, I said, if they came to TPAC and I was home, I think I'd buy a ticket.
Yeah.
I think it'd be kind of a fun night just to sit with other people who, you know, like hearing about other people's misery.
Yeah.
So, you know. Our lives aren't that bad, too.
Yeah. Well, hey, I mean, you make that joke. I mean, I see it when I was researching, you know, the Dateline joke about, you know, your husbands and wives. That could be us.
Yes. Yeah, I want to make sure I ask her. You know, I'm doing all right. I'm just, you know, I hear a faint ticking coming out of you. You know, are you ready to go off? You know?
How much does the wife, not that she, I mean, you tell me, but is she ever say, hey, Jeff, that thing you said about us or me in the act, that's too much. You need to take that out.
Not really. I gave her a line. I said, look, whenever they ask, just say, all I ask is to check clear. It pays the bills, and she knows, again, the heart behind. When we were having our marital problems, she'd come out and see me. She'd leave in tears because I was brutal. You know, I was angry. You know, I was hurt, you know, and I was lashing out. And she'd see it and just leave the room, you know. And now, you know, that's we're in a completely different space. So now there's one I'm doing now that she might have a problem with. Two of them now that she might have. One is on the crown molding, you know. I set it up with Aunt Tammy. The best description I have of my wife now is she's an Amish woman who carries a Louis Vuitton purse. And she really handy with a saw. She did a lot of the work early in our house before I could pay to hire people. So she did the crown molding.
Okay.
And we had a contractor come in for a remodel we did 6 or 7 years ago. And he looked at the crown molding and said, holy cow, that's beautiful. Who did your crown molding? And I said, my wife did it. And he looked at his master carpenter and said, she does better work than you. Now, I said, she clear cut a third of the rainforest learning to do crown molding. And at $399 a foot, we had some expensive firewood. If she heard that, she would, bitch, she would just go, no. But I said, yeah, she did it by eye. You know, she math's not her thing.
Yeah,
so
right.
If all the angles were square, it would have been great, but not that. So. And then the other one that I'm doing now, she would probably have a problem with this. And I had to teach Tammy how to hug. Mm-hmm. She's not a big hugger. She's a producer. If she wants to show you love, she'll make you an Afghan. She'll crochet you an Afghan. But try to get a hug out of her, you know. And I got her, my arms at my side. I go, I lift her arms. I put her, this is how you do it, baby. You know? She would scream and say, no, that's not true. But I get a kick out of it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. That's great that you use your life. You know, I just got married a year ago. And now I've got.
Good for you.
Yeah, and I got the wife in the act now. A little, you know, just
you
like
have to.
I got some jokes about the wedding and that, and it's nothing, you know, it's nothing too bad. But, you know, I ran them past her.
Yeah, I didn't run up. The only thing I ran by her was the menopause.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I made some notes one day, and I thought I better ask, you know, because that condition could get you stabbed.
You know? I'm a couple years away from that, but it's coming.
She was cool with it, so.
Oh, that's awesome. And then in addition to stand-up, you were telling me before we went on the air, as it were, TV pilot.
Yes.
Tell everybody about that. That's exciting.
Yeah, it's funny. I did a pilot in 2000, I think, mm-hmm. Castle Rock. And it was, in hindsight, I got played by the suits out there. I had no control over anything creatively, none. Yeah. And who we hired to be the lead actress with me to play my wife, nothing. I had the script, nothing, nothing. So I said, if the opportunity ever came again, I would do whatever I could to hold on to at least control the creative side of it. So this one, we raised our own money. We got investors, and we shot a 12 to 15 minute, what they call pitch piece. We taped it probably 2 weeks ago, and they're editing it now. But it looked really good. I mean, everybody felt really good about it. Based on my book, Are We There Yet? The trials of what Tammy and I went through, probably the first 7 or 8 years of our marriage, will be season one. It's not going to be pretty. You know, I'm playing my father, which is, you know, my manager said to me, he goes, I hope your fans understand that this is an acting role. This is not who you are, you know, because it's not a funny, you know, there'll be humor in it. But it's, if you ever saw the show The Bear on Hulu. Yeah, we're kind of modeled after that. We wanted a stand-up comedian that could act, because the stand-up comedy has, that's what's going to make the show believable. So you got to get a comic that can act, not a, an actor that does a little bit of comedy. And Jeff Dye is the lead actor. Very funny guy.
Yeah, he's been through our club many times. Yeah, we like Jeff.
Oh, okay. So then you know, man. I watched him work the Sunday before we taped, and I just looked at my manager and said, man, that's one of the best hours I've watched. It's old school, man. Set up punch, set up punch, set up punch, you know. None of this, what do you do for a living? I came here to see what you do for a living, you know. Come on. So, anyway.
He's a handsome guy, too.
Oh, that, well, he's playing me. So he's
gotta be
handsome. Gotta be. They want to do Plus, it makes it a little easier to like the guy. Because he's going to do some pretty nasty things as a husband. And then Sarah Zanotti, the actress. If anybody follows John Crist, the comic. John does a lot of videos for Instagram. And Sarah plays in a lot of those, a blonde. She's playing Tammy. And then I'm playing my father. And then we got Nick Searcy from Justified, a seasoned character actor. To play Tammy's dad. That was an add-on because I didn't write anything about the parents in the book. But when he suggested an interest in being part of this, we told him, you know, we can't afford you. He goes, well, I'll tell you if you can afford me or not. So anyway, he read the script and said, I would like any part you can got for me would be great. I would just love to be part of this project. I like the story. I like where it's headed, you know. So anyway, hopefully we'll have it sold by the end of summer, and then we can start production next year sometime, and that'll keep me home for a bit. Which would be nice. We'll see where it goes, man.
Well, you must still love the road, how much, considering how much you're doing it. And
Love is a bad, you know, it's I don't know any better, but it's like I got home 3 days ago, and I've been, this is the first day I feel like I'm home, you know. And when you're doing it, you're in the road, that's your life, you know, because Tammy always used to say, you know, I'd be home for 2 days. I go, let's go to dinner. Well, don't you want to stay home? I go, look, babe, I'm on the road. So you're home all the time. I'll take you to dinner. That's fine. I don't, you know, I'm home 10 days this time. This is a long stretch at home, and I'm really, really getting into it now. Tomorrow I'm playing golf with my friends, and I feel like you know, the refueling the tanks. But I guarantee you, when I came off when after COVID, when I first weekend I did after 5 months off, I told Tammy if we had the money to retire, I think I would. You know, I didn't realize what a grind it was, but then you get into it, and that's kind of life. That's what you do.
It becomes normal.
You get up, you go to an airport, you sit, you know, a couple hours, you wait for, you know, you deal with all the, you know, canceled flights or whatever, and the rental cars. You know, I love it when I go to a rental car place. I get a premium car, and they give me a, you know, a Ford Focus. I go, I thought I was got a premium. Well, we're all out of them. And then you go down there and you go, like, wait a minute, there's a Mercedes here. Yeah. Well, that's for somebody else. Wait a minute. Hey, whoa. Let him have the focus. I'm here before him, you know.
Yeah.
And then they roll their eyes and they go, you know. But again, to the average Joe, you know, this doesn't sound like, but it adds up over time. And it's interesting. I'm traveling with an opening act, Joel, and he's loving it. He's a tech, really successful tech guy, lots of money.
Yeah.
And, he's got three companies now, I think. And he decided he wanted to do comedy. And I took him out to Georgia. And I really liked his stuff. And my audience, it's, a lot of it's politically incorrect. For a millennial, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, you know, my audience will love it. I said, people your age might look at it, cancel you overnight. I'm just saying. So anyway, he's, I think he'll be with me.
Yeah, I think so. It's on our website there. So.
Yeah. So anyway, he loves it, you know. Oh, they didn't have a rent a car for me. I had an Uber 90 miles. And I go, yeah, I'm sorry. He goes, oh, it's great. This is living the road, man. This is, you know. So I can't wait till he's chain smoking 2 years from now. He's got a liquor problem, cocaine problem. Yeah, you know, bags under his eyes.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, it's like I said, as a member of the Comedy Castle staff, any day you're at our club is always a treat, man. We love having you at the club. Well, we love your audience. And, two shows on a Sunday. What a great day.
Absolutely. I was so blown away that we got sold out that early and then we were able to add.
Yeah.
The audience. I love Detroit anyway. I've been going to Detroit since I started. Right. Comedy. And matter of fact, my first road gig was in Detroit. I took so much no dose I had to leave the stage to vomit. that's how the career started.
There it is. Well, listen, we're not doing that coming up here on the 12th.
No, not at all, man. I don't even touch no dose.
You know? Don't even.
Nothing to do with the quart and a half of whiskey I drink, you know.
Well, that's behind you too, man, and that's great. We love having you. Yeah,
it is.
Absolutely. It is. And you're doing, you know, it's great to see a guy, you know, that's been around that long, still doing great work and still having really energetic audiences and people who love seeing you. It's a real treat for us too. So,
yeah. Well, thanks, man.
All right. Well, Jeff, thanks for talking to me. We'll see you out on the 12th. Two shows.
Thank you. I will be there, man. Yeah, it's my granddaughter's birthday.
All right.
Well, yeah. All right, man. Have a good one.
Thanks, Jeff. Hey, thanks for talking. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Jeff. Awesome stuff, man. I mean, was just watching the Dry Bar stuff right before the interview. So funny. I see why that went viral. I see why people, as Jeff said, watch the whole 30 seconds. But yeah, Jeff Allen, amazing. I also want to tell you what's coming up comedy class-wise. We got comedy classes starting all the time. If you're a beginner, if you've never done stand-up comedy, call the Comedy Castle at 248-542-9900. Get signed up for those shows, for that class. You get to do a fun showcase at the end. We had one this past week. My students are performing on the 14th for the advanced comedy class. So if you've done the beginner class, you can take the advanced comedy class, or if you've had a little more experience, and you're going to call the club for that one, too. That's coming up. So let's plug those real quick. And again, social media for the Comedy Castle podcast. Follow us. Add us on there. Facebook, Comedy Castle Podcast. Or is it? It's Comedy Castle Pod, I believe, on Facebook. And Comedy Castle Podcast on Instagram. That's what it is. So come follow us. We get some more followers. I know the club does a good job of always promoting the show. We thank them for that. But yeah, need you to follow. Get your updates, your links, all that stuff. That's up there. And thanks again to Jeff Allen. Again, we'll talk more about his show on next week's podcast, Sunday the 12th. Thanks to him for coming out. Check out his Dry Bar stuff. It's absolutely hilarious. It's killer. And I'm so happy he could be on the show this week. And I'm so happy you guys listen. All right. Let's get you out of here. It's Easter week. And come see us for Amr K tonight. Sugar Sammy this weekend. And right back here with a new show for you next week. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.